Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. My tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Yes, it's our monthly check-in with our good friend Ryan Jenkins. He owns Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. He makes the peanuts that your kids eat in their peanut butter and their Snickers, and he also farms the cotton that winds up in your Levi's or your T-shirts, and sometimes he does other stuff as well, a whole variety of other stuff as well. And it is January, so Happy New Year, Ryan. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Happy New Year. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great, doing great. I see you're a multimedia star now, not just on the radio, but they have put a whole feature that has pictures of you farming in the PNJ with an article about the loss of farmland in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, I guess it was a slow news week.
Well, it is the new year, you know, sometimes. But they had taken pictures, obviously, back when you were harvesting cotton back in, probably October or something like that. But the article is all about preserving.
It was early October.
Yeah. The article is all about preserving farmland, something you and I have talked many, many times about. The basic problem, right, is if, you know, you can rent out your land at a couple thousand dollars an acre to a farmer, to somebody like you who farms it, or you can sell it to a developer for $15,000-$20,000 an acre. Well, math is math, right?
Yeah, it's tough. It's one of the most difficult positions anyone can be in. You know, the deal is a farmer can no longer control his destiny. He can't afford to buy the land for the prices that the developer can afford to pay for the land. So we're in a contest against developers typically, and there's just no way, you know, they're going to make way more money out of that land than we would ever make out of it in a lifetime of farming it. So it's a difficult position to be in, and people just need to be aware, you know, that it is a problem. We obviously have to have land to be able to continue farming. And I've said it many, many times, believe me when I say you don't want us to have to depend on another country for our food and fiber. And if we don't kind of change the trajectory of where we're headed, that's what's going to end up happening before it's all said and done. And it's strictly because we can't continue to own enough land to be able to farm and produce enough products to clothe and feed everyone.
And it's one of these challenges where, and I think you even said it in the article, was that, you know, a lot of people have this idea like, well, if I farm so many acres, I must be rich. No, you farm it. You don't own it. You know, pay land rent to the people who own it. But the problem is, you know, economically for them, they make more money by, you know, selling to somebody else, a developer or something like that is the challenge. And there's been, you know, proposals, everything from like land trusts to kind of conservation easements where, you know, governments or, you know, other people might invest, nonprofits might pay for various limitations on how land can be used, subsequent owners and things like that. It's something I know has been worked on a lot, both at the state and the federal level. Are we, in your mind, any closer to getting a viable solution to make this problem better?
Those are some of the things that are being looked at and they're being worked on, and they are, I would say they're in their infancy and in some ways, you know, they're starting to happen. But it's still very much a work in progress. You know, it's such a slippery slope because the deal is we have to protect our farmland, but at the same time, we don't want to tell people what they can and can't do with their land.
Amen.
You know, it's not fair if a farmer has, you know, acquired land over their career and then they get older and basically die. And they leave it to their sons and daughters, and they don't want to be farmers. It's not really fair for them to be stuck with it and can't do anything with it other than farm, if that's not what they wanted to do. Or same way with a farmer. If he gets in trouble somewhere along the line financially and he needs to sell some land to be able to pay his debts or whatever, you know, he needs to be able to do that. So it's very... But at the same time, we don't need to be out there developing. I feel like we don't need to be out there developing prime farmland when there's some less desirable land over here that we could develop, if that makes sense. So I think we have to incentivize some of those things and really work toward a solution that benefits everyone.
Yeah, I agree. All of those are the parameters, and right now we have a, you know, push for development in Northwest Florida that's really pushing in one direction on these problems. And, you know, once the land leaves rows and crops and becomes homes, you never unplant homes. And that's, you know, that's the basic
thing. Once you plant a home on it, it's done.
Yeah, you never get another crop out of that thing. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, I did want to ask you, first of all, it's January. The ground is hard. There's not a lot of rain, although yesterday was an exception. But you're not planting or harvesting right now. What are you doing with your time?
No, we have all of our cover crops planted now. So basically all the field work's done for a month or so. And so this is really our cleaning up and fixing everything that we tore up in the fall time of the year, a lot of mechanicing going on, and then a lot of just planning. You know, it's the time of the year that we have to get our operating loan for this coming year. December, January is that time frame, so that's something that's harder to do every year. And also, believe it or not, you know, it'll be planting time the middle of April or so.
Yeah.
And it's time to start ordering seeds. So that's one of the most important decisions a farmer makes every year is, what type of crop is he going to plant where, and what seed is he going to use? What variety of seed? So those things are, you know, we'll be looking at data from the past years and from past trials, trying to decide what will do best on our land, looking at the commodity markets, trying, which is almost impossible to do now, trying to figure out what crop may potentially make us the most money this year, and then try to figure out if that will work into our rotation that's needed. So there's a lot of planning and a lot of thinking that's going on right now. And like I say, it's time to place our orders because April will be here soon. And it takes time for them to come up with the seed and to get it treated and shipped in and all that. So there's a lot going on, even though you don't see us out in the field much.
I don't know, Ryan. I mean, you make it sound like it's hard, but like all you've got to know is over the course of the next 10 months, what's the weather going to be like? How hot's it going to be? How much is it going to rain or not? What are the costs of all the various inputs that you have to factor into? And then what's your end price going to be 10 months from now? It doesn't seem like it's that hard to figure out.
It's not. I'm really surprised there's not more farmers than there are.
And also figure out where you're going to get your money in an industry that routinely struggles to, you know, make ends meet and break even and, you know, depend on the kindness of strangers for basically everything that happens in your life. I don't know that it seems all that hard to me, but, you know, whatever. I just do radio.
There's really not much to it.
for those of you who do not have a sarcasm gene. 100% sarcasm. I saw an article, and I don't think you and I have had a chance to talk about this on the air, and I thought it was interesting. It was just because I come from the land of corn. I come from, you know, Illinois originally. And it was an article that talked about a new kind of corn that's being developed that's short instead of tall. It's only 5 feet tall instead of, what, I guess like 7 or 8 feet tall. And it's highly resistant to wind because it's shorter. And you can plant it a little bit more densely because it has less sun blockage because it's not as tall. And I thought, oh, I should talk about this with Ryan. I know you do a lot of experimenting, you know, with corn. Corn's not a major crop for you, but you do a lot of experimenting with it. Is that something that you guys have been playing with? Do you know much about that? I'm just kind of curious your take on it. You're my expert, so I'm asking.
I have not done any trial work with that, but I think all the things that you just mentioned are real things that do make a difference in your final yield. You know, this part of the world, after a storm, there's no infrastructure here for corn. So basically we have to let our corn get field dry. We don't have a lot of dryers in our area and grain bins and things like that. So for us to sell it, we have to let it dry in the field, which makes it more susceptible to wind damage. So afternoon thunderstorm, you can have a beautiful crop. Afternoon thunderstorm come through, blow it all down on the ground, and lose half of it just in the afternoon type storm. So being more storm resistance is something that we look at in every trial we do, no matter what the crop is, because, you know, of the hurricanes and the afternoon storms that we have so often here. So that is something that's big. It's easier for it to translocate the nutrients through the plant, the moisture through the plant.
There's
a lot of things about it that make sense to me. So I would be interested in looking at it and trialing. I can tell you one time we did have a variety trial, and the ugliest, shortest looking variety out there that you wouldn't have thought would have done anything won the whole trial.
Huh.
So maybe there's something to it.
Ugliest, shortest. The Andrew McKay variable? Is that what I feel like that's what you're talking
about? Kind of like that.
Take that a little personally. I mean, you know, you're, what, 6'2"? So, you know, I just know who you're talking about here. last thing that we always like to end with, Ryan, do you have a farm fact for us this week, this month?
Well, you know, when I couldn't go to sleep last night, I was trying to think what farming fun fact I was going to use today. I said, you know, we never talk about livestock in Santa Rosa County.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I don't know that we've ever mentioned it. But I looked up the data this morning, and did you know that Santa Rosa County is home to right at 8,000 head of cattle?
Hmm. I see them when we're bicycling. I definitely see them around. But so, I wouldn't have even known where to guess at the number. 8,000 head of cattle?
Yep, 8,000. You know, it goes up and down, but that's kind of where it averages out at every year.
Well, that'll keep my family in hamburgers for about 3 weeks. So, okay.
I'm good to go for about a week with that.
With your two boys. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. As always, Ryan, thank you for the time. But more importantly, thank you for doing what you do to educate people about farming and for actually doing the farming that, you know, makes peanuts and cotton for us, essential things that feed my kids and clothe them. I really appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you for having us on. I'll see you soon.